One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 27th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Chapter 47, Book 133 of the Barber Family Saga. Today, farewell to a pretty girl. Miss Greta Stephenson Martin, in the sky-blue uniform of the Nordic Airlines, leaves Joan Borden's house at 6 o'clock on a cool March evening and hurries five doors down to the Barber family home, where the front door opens before she reaches the steps.
Howdy-ho-ho-ho!
Oh, Pinky! Hello! Is Hank home yet?
Yeah, he's upstairs with C.V. Come on in. Let me get the light. The old boy's a lot better. But we're still keeping him in Grandfather's bed. Here, I'll take the flight bag. Mm-hmm. What time do you leave?
I have orders to be aboard the plane at 7:30. We kick off at 9.
Good, good. And I don't go to work till 8. I wanted to get you a little going-away present, but I overslept and...
Is that Henry?
Excuse me. Not here yet, Grandmother. It's Greta. She came to say goodbye. Okay to bring her up there?
Oh, wait just a moment. I'll ask Hank. Hello, Greta.
Good evening, Mother Barber.
Come on in the library. Hey, turn around. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Those Scandinavians sure know how to make uniforms.
This was designed in Paris. Shame on you. You make it sound frivolous. Tell me, how is Sander?
Who? Oh, Sander. Fine. I had a little talk with her father last night. She's okay, I guess. He said I've been a good influence on her. Imagine, that's the first time
any... All right, Greta, you may come up.
Okay, here we come. My arm, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, Pinky. Hank says one at a time.
Oh, well, okay.
If you will excuse me, then, I will go on alone.
Yeah, but hurry back. I'll be here quite a while yet. Greta?
Yes, she didn't hear you.
Yeah. Boy, isn't she a walking dream in that uniform?
Well, she's a very pretty girl. Hank's a lucky young man, isn't he?
That overseas cap. The blue is exactly right for her eyes. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. She sure is a dazzling little dame.
Have Greta and Hank decided when they're going to get married?
Honey, I'm home.
Oh, here's your grandfather. In the library.
Hi, Grandfather. How's the factory? Making skis for every slope?
Good to see you, Pinky. Don't go away. I'd like to speak to you.
Help with his coat, Pinky.
Oh, sure. Sorry. Here.
How was your day?
Going well.
There's a letter for you from Hazel.
Good. No other news?
Greta's upstairs in our room to consider. Hank's there, too.
How is Mr. Martin?
Well, he's better, Henry.
Yes.
But he's so comfortable in our bed, and it's so convenient for the nurses. Hank thinks if you don't mind too much, he should stay there a few more nights.
Huh?
Excuse me, I'll see about dinner now that you're here. Paul won't be home. He had to go to Los Angeles. He'll be back about midnight.
A few more nights? Yeah, whenever Mr. Martin thinks about leaving my bed, it seems to weaken him. What is it, Pinky?
Didn't you want to see me about something?
Oh, here it is. Sit down. Yeah, I confess I've been very curious. Mr. Martin told us the other evening when he accompanied you to Sears Savoy that Mr. Sears took you into his private office for a secret conference.
Yeah, sort of. We talked in the hall outside.
Everything's still all right? You still have your job?
Oh, sure. He congratulated me on the way I took CZ out of the merry-go-round bar before he could start community singing.
Oh, he took you aside to compliment you?
Well, Mr. Sears says that's one of the first things a good hotel man has to learn, how to get rid of a customer and make him like it.
Well, splendid. No criticism whatever?
Hmm? Well, it wasn't really a criticism. He says I'm the only friend Santa ever had who was a good influence on her, and... he hopes I won't give so much attention to business that I neglect the social aspects. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, quote.
Yes.
Santa's writing a new book of poems, and he'd like somebody to get her out in the open air.
Yes.
That's one of the things he likes so much. At first, I walked her a lot. Of course, at that time, I wasn't renting your car, and we had to walk or take buses.
Yes. Pinky, while I have always frowned on anything that smacked of outright nepotism, still, there are relationships which thread through business life. One must be realistic within the realm of one's principles.
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is far and away the best job you've ever had, my boy.
Yeah, sure is.
I have no doubt you are doing good work.
He said so. Said I'm almost due for another raise.
Uh-huh. Well, yes. A little more walking in the open air might be good for you.
Whenever I'm working, you hold your breath from one payday to the next. I know how it is.
No.
Pinky, you may come up now.
Okay, Greta. Here I come.
Phew. What are you looking at?
She's in her sky blue uniform. You ought to see her.
Yes, sir.
It's exactly the right shade to match her eyes.
Yeah.
With little strands of taffy-colored hair curling under her overseas cap. She's about the prettiest little dame that ever rode the skies. Hey, and just think, I'm the guy who found her first and then broke the engagement. What a grade-A dope. Okay, Greta, here I come.
Oh. Oh, honey!
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Do you know who said, "They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety"? Those words were written by Benjamin Franklin in the year 1759. Even before the United States of America had come into being, Franklin realized that the path toward freedom was a difficult one. He knew that there would be many people who would prefer easier paths to the difficult one that led toward freedom. These people, he felt, did not deserve to enjoy freedom. Just as there were in Ben Franklin's time, there are people today who would choose what looks like the safe and easy way to protect American freedom. They would be willing to sacrifice some of their liberties in order to be comfortable. But the surrender of a little freedom soon leads to the surrender of all freedom. Liberty can be protected only by constant vigilance and the willingness to fight to protect it, if necessary. Remember the words of Benjamin Franklin. They are part of your American heritage. Temporary safety must never be purchased at the price of liberty.
It's an hour later. Father Barber, sitting in his big chair beside the hearth, finds himself without interest in the evening paper. Now he identifies the voices on the stairs. Greta and his grandson, Hank. Lieutenant Hank Murray, Army Medical Corps.
Okay, CZ, she can stay till the nurse gets back from dinner. I'll make the call for you, Greta.
Thank you. And I'll leave CZ to sleep.
Well, shut the door then. Night, CZ. Pleasant dreams.
Oh, hi, Grandfather. May I use the phone down here?
Yeah, help yourself, Hank, my boy.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Martin is making progress, I trust?
Oh, sure. But he missed pneumonia by one deep breath. I'll move him out of your bed in a day or so, as soon as we feel it safe.
Yeah.
Hello, Dagmar. Hank Murray. Look, don't come for Greta. No, I'll get her to the airport. No, I'm off duty tonight. She forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 7:30. So thanks just the same. Bye. I'll drive her to the airport myself.
Yeah. My letter from your mother has an interesting paragraph. Will you take time to listen?
Well, sure. Go ahead.
Your mother and Daniel will go over to England on Tuesday and then on Friday go up to Scotland to visit Clifford and Mary.
Mm.
Well, here's what she said. I open each letter from home expecting news from Hank or Greta. Hank told me they hoped to slip away somewhere for a quiet wedding. And I must say, after the recent turmoil at Jones, this would seem indicated. The minute it happens, I hope somebody will be extravagant and send us a cable.
Mm-hmm.
You see, she's waiting for news.
Yeah. Did you hear about Greta's talk with Mr. Nordstrand?
Who is he?
Personnel manager.
Eh?
For the airline, personnel manager. Well, he hit the ceiling when Greta told him she might get married now. They didn't put her through flight training, planning to lose her the first time over.
Yes, I see.
When she signed up last fall, she told him she had no plans, no beau even, which was true then.
But the young ladies do resign and get married.
Well, she'll have to talk to Mr. Harveson in Copenhagen. He's the president. He might sign the release and okay it. He came from Trondheim. He knew her whole family.
Oh, you're both young, happy, and nothing has come between you. Yeah, yeah, now is the time.
All right, Phoebe. Good night, dear. Oh, in just 2 weeks.
Listen to her. In just 2 weeks. I hope she never loses that accent.
Hi. I'm ready now. I must say goodbye to Mother and Father Barber and to Pinky, too.
Pinky has gone.
Oh, dear, without goodbye to me? Tell him I said next time I want to meet his girl, Sam.
Yes, excellent. We'll arrange a double date, eh, Hank? Yeah. Excellent idea.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
This is Bill Goodwin. You know, someone once said humor is the true democracy. And that's why we Americans can smile when we tell the stories of the legendary heroes who helped to build our country's great institutions and industries. Like Bowleg Bill, hero of the tuna fishing industry. Back in Provincetown, Massachusetts, they claimed that when it came to hauling in the horse mackerel, as the Eastern is called tuna, Bill could handle two gaffs at once and catch more than any six men put together. And they're still talking about the time Bill caught old Slick Britches, the biggest horse mackerel of them all. No one could ever get his hooks into Slick Britches, who weighed 2,000 pounds and had a tail 6 feet long. But Bowleg Bill promised to land him single-handed. He set out in his boat toss-up, and when he spotted Slick Britches, he made a grab for him, but the tuna slipped through his hands. So Bill dove over the side, and before folks knew what had happened, Bill was sitting astride old Slick Britches, who was bucking like a bronco. He leaped almost a mile out of the water, but Bill hung on. All over the harbor they went, jumping and leaping, but still Bill hung on. Finally, Slick Britches gave one last leap over the toss-up and then calmed down, all the fight gone out of him. Bill steered him toward shore, but all of a sudden, he headed him back out to sea, slapped the tuna's tail and jumped off. Now, folks were mighty disappointed when Slick Britches disappeared, but it was like Bill told them. There's nothing that'll break a cowhand's heart so quick as to find a critter with the ruff all rode off at the first mount. Yes, sir, it is a democracy which lets us tell the stories of such a legendary character as Bowleg Bill with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. And so long as we continue to laugh together as a people, ladies and gentlemen, we will live together as a nation.
While the barber watches Hank's receding taillights and comes back into the library to find his wife staring at her knitting deep in thought.
What are you thinking?
Oh, not a... nothing. Trying to remember my count.
Oh, they've come back. Who came in? Oh, forget something?
Hi, where's Greta?
Peggy.
They've gone to the airport.
Oh, no, she didn't. Without saying goodbye to me.
We supposed you'd gone to work.
But I told everybody I don't go on till 8 o'clock tonight. I went over to Geary Street to get Greta a box of candy and a book. Okay, I'll catch him at the airport. So long.
Wait, Pinky. Pinky?
He's gone.
Yeah. I've had a strange, uneasy feeling, a sense of apprehension lately. Really? Now I know why.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 48, Book 133, Ross and the Children's Hour. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.